My name is Warren Thornton. I'm an investigative journalist. And of course, you may or may not know me through the story where I was arrested for exposing the applause or round of applause or the standing ovation in the Canadian Parliament, which was given to a Nazi for that. I was arrested. I was released without charge or fine. But of course, they didn't want that information out there. I was formerly a military sniper for 6 years. And for 8 years, I spent much time, shall we say, in war-torn countries, places like Sierra Leone, and of course, places like Panama, where there were internal wars going on. So I have seen with great, shall we say, detail, what happens when we go into countries and start trying to overthrow the governments, or we back, the rebels, as they call
Well,
them then.
This is great training for where you are now, because it's almost a civil war breaking out. If I can just summarize, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, but you had a previous Duterte government in the Philippines, which has long been dominated by the Americans. There are other powers in Asia that would like to control the Philippines, but I had a friend who was there during a 1970s coup. Where the CIA had sent phantom jets to buzz the capital. So it's been a bit of a point of contention for many years. And this previous Duterte government did a real big crackdown on the major drug gangs. They were elected to do this. And now the present government, which is now much more pro-American, is clamping down on the old guard and doing it apparently for the International Criminal Court in The Hague.
Yes, absolutely. So let's go through the situation then. We've got obviously Duterte, who was put in to crack down on all the criminals that were going on, especially the drug dealers in the northern part of the Philippines, which is where they're mainly located. Now, he was removed from power. The Americans, he was very much pro-China. Marcos Jr., very much pro-America, and Marcos Jr. took over. When he took over, it didn't take long for Marcos to start cracking down on previous Duterte, shall we say, acolytes and people. They started low by jailing a few minor people who were part of Duterte's government. Then they went after Duterte themselves. Now, Duterte had arrived back on an aeroplane, and of course, Marcos then held that aeroplane and of course, bundled him away to The Hague. Now, the problem that we have with that is he's getting rid of his political opponent, and two, the Philippines is not a signatory to the ICC. So, of course, they decided to fly Duterte out there, along with many of the people who put up the idea that Duterte was a war criminal. And, of course, many of those are relatives of the drug gangs that he smashed. Now, on top of that, the Philippine government has impeached Zara Duterte, his daughter, on two occasions to try and make sure that she can't run against Marcos. And now we've just had a gunfight in the Manila, would you believe, actually in the parliament, with shots being fired to get rid of De La Rosa, who was, of course, very much part and parcel of getting, shall we say, the group of people that were tasked with getting rid of those drug gangs. And of course, at the moment, as we speak, he is at large.
Yeah, on the run, which is quite, it's almost like Charles I spending a few months on the run in the English Civil War, at the end of the English Civil War, where he eventually managed to escape to safe haven in France and was brought back after a decade or so to be the king. So this is the sort of thing that can happen in civil wars. I just wonder, can you give us some detail, Warren, on the this war on drugs clampdown of Duterte? That what they're alleging is that there was indiscriminate mass murder of drug users and drug dealers. But what the Duterte crowd are saying is actually every one of these raids was done on the same basis, which is we would always give a very loud verbal warning, and people could give themselves up or actually face a gun battle, which they might lose and be killed.
Yeah, absolutely. And the latter of those two statements is the one that's completely true. Basically, of course, with all the drugs and everything that are being smuggled through, the CIA have a very heavy involvement in the Philippines and have done through time, through for a long, long time. And very, very simply, what happened were they were given warnings, and of course they decided to fight it out. The Philippines can be quite, should we say, volatile. And of course, there were many, many gun battles. Many of the drug people, the people who were into the drugs, of course, were having battles with the police on various islands as well, simply because they would not then be able to, and it was put to them, they wouldn't be able to get hold of any drugs. So they managed to recruit a fair few people. And of course, they have their own militias, quite a few of these drug gangs that he took on. So you're absolutely right, all the people that are saying that Duterte had gun battles, or Duterte's forces had gun battles with these people. Some of the gun battles were extremely bloody, and resulted in officers dying as well. So everybody is turning around and saying, "Oh no, he's killed innocent people and everything else." There are no innocent people in a drug gun battle. Trust me. There's no question whatsoever. Bystanders may have been used for human shields, as they were by the drug gangs, but the drug gangs in the northern part of the Philippines, and also the capture, which isn't spoke about a lot, long before they sort of got heavily into the drug scene, they were kidnapping foreign nationals and ransoming them. So it is a huge industry in the Philippines.
What do you think? How do you think this is going to play out? Because it does seem to be as much of a party political battle as it is to do with anything to do with justice.
Yes, absolutely. This is the CIA, and of course the various NGOs, and we've seen this all across Nepal, Madagascar, many other countries where they've had the riots lately. If you go and have a look, they're all carrying the same flags. They're all literally sponsored by the same people, the National Endowment for Democracy, which is a soft word for a CIA front. And of course, in the Philippines, this is no different. They are trying to eradicate all of the resistance to Marcos. Because of what I believe, and the reason I came out here in 2025, is because of the coming war at the end of 2027, 2028, the beginning of 2028, when, of course, Taiwan hold their elections.
So, it's nothing to do with the weather then.
Absolutely no. The whole idea was I my wife is out here as well, so it is very much along the lines of I could see where this was going. It was the same as the Ukraine-Russia war, which I was predicting a long time off, and that we would still be having a war in 2026. This
So,
was back in
can you
2022.
tell us a bit about these NGOs? I mean, you reckon it's the National Endowment on Democracy, which is a sort of soft front for the Central Intelligence Agency of the
Yes.
United States, because I've seen that they're doing trying to do anyway a similar thing in Cuba by accusing Raul Castro of murder, when actually it's something to do with an aircraft being shot down by some of his forces. He was in a political position at the time, so maybe there are links between these. But anyway, maybe you can talk about the wider, the bigger picture. In it's a bit of a tug of war, isn't it? It's mainly the Chinese in that part of the world
Yes.
versus the Americans with Taiwan too.
Yeah, absolutely. So what it is the Americans want to basically have control over Taiwan. They've been sending Taiwan arms and indeed been increasing those packages. Victoria Nuland, of course, who was the head of the National Endowment for Democracy, helped start the war by overthrowing the government in Ukraine. Of course, that started the Ukraine-Russia war. She's been out here quite a few times, and of course, making all sorts of noises. Now, the Chinese are very, very strident and very stringent about the fact that Taiwan belongs to China. And of course, America are now beefing it up very much along the lines. They've been doing all sorts of visits all along what you would call a ring. So they're trying to create a semicircular naval ring around China. And that includes the Philippines, it includes Japan, and of course, I call her Takechi, after Takechi's castle. But the Japanese premier is extremely, extremely pro-Russia and extremely anti-China, sorry, pro-America and extremely anti-China, as is now the Philippines. And of course, they want that ring, literally stretching, it's like two rings one inner ring and one outer ring, to try and stop China trade through those areas, and that's going to include Malaysia and Vietnam as well.
Well, the Americans did this in Egypt with the Mohamed Morsi and the Muslim Brotherhood coming to power there. I wonder whether there's something pretty sinister been going on in the Philippines, whereby the United States' long-term policy is let's let the people with a local interest and maybe anti-colonial people come to power. In this case, Duterte. Then they will all come together. They will be organized. They'll be running the country. We'll know who they all are to round them up later.
Yes, absolutely that. There's no question that that's happened. Same thing happened in Japan. If you remember, of course, the leader of the opposition was killed in Japan in a gun battle. We're seeing the same thing play out in South Korea. So there is American fingerprints all over this. And the NGOs, if you go and have a look at the amount of NGOs that are actually in the Philippines and in Japan and in places that are moving into places like Vietnam, and of course, the regional wars, of course, they overthrew Nepal. Nepal is in between India and China, so they want Nepal as an unstable country that is going to cause a problem for India and China. And of course, they want to stop, desperately want to stop, the Golden Corridor that is being built between Iran, China, India, and Russia, which is this huge railway system that they are currently making. And of course, they want to stop that. That's the reason for going into Iran. So the whole
This
area or
is what
region
they
that we
call the
have.
Silk Road, isn't it?
No, but they call it the Belt and Road. And of course, it is a series of railway networks which is going to interlink. So it's being built mainly in Iran, and then it stretches through Pakistan into India, and then into China. And the other way is to build what they call the Golden Corridor to the top of Iran, of course, and then stretch that through Turkmenistan and other areas to go into Russia. And that would, of course, cut out the whole of the Arab states, which are pretty much, if you go along the line, UAE, Jordan, Kuwait, and everything else, are pretty much owned by, of course, America. And of course, that rather cuts out the Straits of Hormuz. The Chinese, the Russians, and the Indians won't need it to do trade. And in fact, 28 Chinese engineers have been killed in Pakistan in the last year and a half.
Wow, so there's actually much bigger things going. You know what it reminds me of, this harassing this railway, is a little bit of like Lawrence of Arabia harassing
Yes,
the Ottoman Empire in the First World War. He was with the Arabs, was bombing the railway, trying to stop the Ottomans having any communication with the south.
yeah, absolutely. And this is happening now. This is happening on the land level, and of course, the Philippines, Japan, Australia. Whether Australia will fall for it, but I'm sure that they will, under pressure from the Americans. Eventually, they will cave. And the whole idea is to start another proxy war. America know they haven't got the strength to, or the might to be able to do it. I mean, they couldn't even defeat the Houthis. They're certainly not going to cow Iran. They're not going to get a change of government there. The only reason they were able to do it in Venezuela is because the Venezuelan Rodriguez was very corrupt, and they had many meetings at the Bentley Hotel in Doha with the Rodriguez twins before, of course, they overthrew the government of Venezuela. They tried to do the same in Iran by smuggling weapons through the Zangezur Corridor, which is in between Armenia and Azerbaijan, to their local proxies there, their NGOs there, and that failed because the Russians were able to jam the Starlink systems which were being brought in. But the Philippines is very much in the grip of America, as is Japan. And of course, now they're trying to make nice overtures towards Vietnam and various other countries to create that ring, if you like, that first ring of defense. And of course, they know they can't take them on, so they're going to get the Japanese and the Filipinos to fight the proxy war for them.
So yeah, Musk's Starlink is, I think, is one of those fascinating little networks that people thought was just, the internet, but it isn't. And the Russians, I see the other day, were threatening to use an electromagnetic pulse weapon over Ukraine to disable all of the ground terminals for the Starlinks and possibly some of the satellites too. So we're getting into James Bond, Ian Fleming territory with possible satellite wars here too.
Yes, absolutely. And the thing that we have here, of course, is because these satellite, the Starlink, was being allowed to be used by both Russia and Ukraine, and then Musk cut off the use of Starlink to for Russia. And of course, Russia since then have been breaking into it and using it, and there is a battle there to try and hold on to, shall we say, Starlink. But there were Dutch in Iran. There were actually Dutch diplomats smuggling Starlink terminals into Iran that were caught. I've actually got videos of this happening, and they were actually smuggling these Starlink terminals in to try and give to the NGOs so they could all interconnect with each other to do the riots. If you remember back in the day when they said there was 40-odd thousand, there wasn't. There was about 3,000 that were actually killed. But we've now got, as I say, that was the first thing they did, and now of course they're trying to do this with China and the Philippines. Marcos the other day just turned around and said, there is no scenario where China and Taiwan have a war without us being involved, which is complete nonsense because it's nothing to do with the Philippines. There, if you like, the ramping up of these things. We have a thing called the shoals out here, which is the Scarborough Shoal. And these are tiny little islands, very close or quite close to Taiwan, quite close to the Philippines, that, of course, they are disputing the territory with China. But they are now putting American missile weapons on them, pointing directly at Taiwan.
Oh well, you mentioning the Iran thing, I wonder, do you think that this war is going to be starting up all over again? I mean, the Starlink, you're right, is absolutely key. We know in January 2026 there was this foreign intelligence organized uprising, which was quite quickly put down by the Iranians. I mean, really, this was an attempt to start a civil war in their country. But Trump was watching this on TV and believed it. So Jared Kushner and others were then saying to Donald Trump, "Hey, look, the government's about to go." So it was almost like Trump is way outside the loop of what's really going on.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, without any question. So, really, what it was, and it was a terrorist group called Al-Jaish, along with Jaish al-Al, and basically they had the same thing they were trying to do that they did in Syria and many other countries, was they were trying to use smuggled weapons in. They would all interconnect with each other. They're all right in the same cities, but the trouble was the Israelis and the Americans weren't ready to go militarily, so they rather popped off early, if you like. And then, of course, the Russians were able to give them the jamming devices to be able to jam them. And then, of course, because they were going around shooting the protesters, the so-called peaceful protesters, who all had multiple weapons, including flamethrowers and automatic weapons, were shooting non-protesters and then trying to blame the government. And these were provided by Israel. These weapons were provided by Israel, America, and of course Saudi Arabia, who have a vested interest in getting rid of Iran. So what you have here, Tony, and it really is a bit of a problem, is that failed. There's no chance of raising it up again. Now, 3,117 people were killed, including 690 of these insurgents that were trying to do this. And every single one of them, when they're houses were searched afterwards, had a Starlink terminal, oddly enough. Now, here's where we go with this. We were talking about the war there. There's no off-ramp here that looks good for America. They have to maybe do one more hit and run away. Everything that they decided, and let's face it, this was all about overthrowing the government of Iran. It wasn't about anything else. It was never about the enriched uranium, because they had 60% enriched uranium. And it only needs 20% of enriched uranium to create a dirty bomb, you know, a nuclear device. So the idea that the Iranians, and of course they killed the only man who was absolutely turning around and saying that he issued two fatwas against this, saying that it was absolutely against God for us to have a nuclear weapon. They went and killed him in his own home on a Sunday morning. So it was never about that. It was always about overthrowing, and they're saying Iran can't have a nuclear weapon. Well, it looks very much as though Iran will have a nuclear weapon now, because they are starting to believe very much along the lines of if they don't have one, then there's going to be even more problems
Well, they're
because you.
facing two nuclear powers. But do you think Trump will go back now he's back from China?
He has to. This is where America have a real problem because they don't have an off ramp that looks like they can present it as a win. They haven't got the enriched uranium, and in fact, Iran said, "But give it to Russia." You can imagine what America's response was to that. And of course, they're not going to win militarily. Their aircraft are not all bombed out. They kept a lot of their boats were their ships. Their navy was just left at anchor because they knew they couldn't fight the American navy, so they just let it be blown up. But what they did have is 2,000 of these speed boats, of course, these what they call fast boats, that have been equipped with missiles and torpedoes and stuff like that, that can sink almost any ship in the Strait of Hormuz. So what we have now, Tony, is this thing of they haven't managed to overthrow the government. They haven't managed to get the enriched uranium, including the ridiculous effort that they tried to sell about the downed pilot, which of course was an absolutely crazy idea, where they tried to get in to Natanz to get the enriched uranium, and they didn't even get halfway. And the other thing that they have is they still have planes, they still have plenty of boats, they still have a full standing army. They're able to transport oil overland. Everybody thinks, oh, you won't be able to transport. They've only stopped about 20% of the shipping. I've got a friend at Lloyd's of London who said they've stopped 91 vessels, 479 have got through. And of course, the Russians are zipping in and out, the Chinese are zipping in and
Well,
out.
that doesn't stop the British oil companies putting up the price of diesel, does
Oh,
it?
no. And of course, now we've got this row over Russian oil, haven't we now? Because, of course, there is such a paucity of it. That they want to get the oil. But here's where we have a problem. Russia sold that to India, and then India sell it to America, and Europe buy it back off America at vastly inflated prices.
So it's like a sort of pass the parcel.
Yeah.
But and everyone making a few bob as the parcel gets passed. What about
Yeah.
Russia Ukraine? What do you think? What do you make of that conflict these days? Because it's gone off the headlines a bit.
It has, and Russia are slowly but surely making headway. Of course, the Ukrainians now have just gone full drone attack because the Ukrainians are losing about over the course of the war, they're losing about 14, 15 to 1 in terms of manpower. That's gone down a little bit because they've now got such a reliance on drones. But the Russians at the moment are battling for the city of Lyman, which is just above the rest of the Donbass. Now, there's two main cities in the Donbass called Slavyansk and Kramatorsk, and the Russians will be taking that in 2026. And of course, at the moment, they are battling in the south for hold of Konstantinivka. Now, when they get hold of Lyman, when they get hold of Konstantinivka, they will occupy all the high ground looking over Kramatorsk and, of course, Slavyansk, and they are the last two major cities left in the Donbass, and then the Russians will own the Donbass. But this isn't the end of the war, Tony. There is no way that Russia are going to let Ukraine have a port on the Black Sea, and that means that Odessa will be going to Russian hands. It may take 2027, 2028, or even further before that is settled. We will still be talking about this war in September of 2027, Tony, I'm afraid.
Well, okay, look, back to the Philippines. Let's just round off with a look at what you think the support for Duterte and your rogue police chief of Duterte's is still in the Philippines. Do you think there'll be people who are prepared to look after him, and possibly they could be a part of finally removing the American influence from the Philippines?
Yeah, there is a massive manhunt going on at the moment because, of course, obviously, the supporters mainly are in the north. And of course, the north has always had a very, very checkered history with the rest of the Philippines. So places up in the north, of course, and also Mindanao has very much been a hotbed of opposition to the Philippines government. And it really is a battle of the people of the genuine people of the Philippines and the brainwashed. It's sort of 75-25 in America's favor. They have the numbers, they have the government, they have the police in their pockets,
Yeah,
and
but
the
there will be
Coast
quite
Guard.
a lot of police in the Philippines now who also served under this Duterte police chief and who will be sympathetic and have seen what he's done to eradicate the drug gangs.
Yes, absolutely. But of course, money talks, as you always know, Tony. And in the Philippines, we tend to have a say. There's tend to be a saying here: it's not whether your politician is corrupt; it's just how much it costs to buy him.
Oh, I suppose it's the same everywhere, really. Anyway, Warren, look, just can you just share whereabouts people can find you? You do a daily program, I know.
We do Monday to Friday. We do a news show, 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. You can find me, as it says at the top there, Warren Thornton on Patreon, and we tell you the news that nobody else will, because the mainstream media certainly won't tell you. So we tend to do that, and we have a Sunday show, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. And of course, every now and again, we have the wonderful Tony Gosling come to visit us.
Oh, God, God help you. But so, when were you last on the BBC World Service with such a broad knowledge? It'd be good to hear you there.
Absolutely no chance of being on the BBC, I'm afraid. It's rather like we keep calling out their nonsense every time they put out a false story. We're very quick to debunk it and show exactly what has happened. So we're not mainstream media's favorite people, I'm afraid.
Final question and most awkward question. Is this battle between the Duterte and the Marcos faction in the Philippines really just a battle from outside between America and China?
Yes, absolutely. No question whatsoever. It is who has control. The Americans do not want anything getting in the way of 2027, 2028, when Taiwan go to the polls. And remember that the last time Taiwan went to the polls, it was very, very close. And the Taiwanese American faction had to do a deal with the other parties to keep the pro-China party out. This time round, it's likely that the pro-China party will, of course, win the election. Now, that's going to be a bone of contention between the Americans and the Chinese. Look out for that. December 2027 is when the elections are held, and the results in January 2028.
Okay, Warren, just a final reminder of where people can find you.
Warren Thornton on Patreon. Come across, subscribe, like, and of course, help us get the proper news out there rather than the absolute nonsense that they feed most of the sheep.
Yeah, like the fact that Philippines isn't even in the International Criminal Court. So what the hell are they doing? Hunting for one of their former police chiefs there. Warren Thornton,
Yes.
thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you very much, Tony.